Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Let's stay with the top two stories in Carla's bulletin there, though arguably the third story about children being lost at sea in the Mediterranean could be connected as well. Last week was the hottest on Earth since records began. And now today we have these figures from the EPA on reporting on our greenhouse gas emissions, showing what some have called a welcome decrease of 1.9%. Behind that, there is the challenging picture for the transport sector in particular, where emissions increased by 6% in 2022, despite a spike in people switching to electric vehicles. So we're going to take a detailed look at transport within the context of those figures. I'm joined by Professor Brian Caulfield, School of Engineering and Trinity College Dublin. A big picture question first before we get into transport, though, Brian. 1.9% cut in emissions being framed as a positive, but we need to be doing about 6% a year, don't we, to stay within budget. How much harder is this going to make staying within our carbon budgets?
It's going to make it a lot more difficult, Philip. Any reduction is welcome, I suppose, but the EPA this morning in their press briefing basically showed that, you know, next year and the year after in 25, we'll have to reduce our emissions by 12% each year in order to catch up because we're so far behind.
And we had kind of fair winds in the last 12 months, didn't we? If you think that, you know, on these figures, I mean, the prohibitive cost of home heating fuel, the prohibitive cost of fertilisers meant that less of those were used, and we had a mild winter. But if you take those out of the equation, we'd probably be doing a lot worse.
I suspect so. And like, I suppose to look at the outlier that seems to be there today, and that is that home energy has decreased by, I think, over 12%. I suppose you need to dig down into that. I know there's work that I've done with Aoife Foley in Queens that looked at energy poverty, and I suspect an awful lot of that is entangled in that 12%. Are we going to get the same reduction next year? Did we really retrofit that many houses? Have that many people gotten solar panels?
No. Indeed. Or were there a lot of people with blankets wrapped around their shoulders throughout the course of the winter?
I suspect that's exactly what happened, and people went without, and that's what we see happening in that sector.
Okay, why then in the transport sector is this proving such a tough nut to crack, given that there are so many more electric vehicles on the road?
I suppose that the electric vehicles aren't really touching the sides when it comes to the total emissions reductions that are required. I think transport is the one thing that everybody does almost every single day, and it's the thing that we have to change behaviour on. It's the thing that's going to have to be, we're going to have to be inconvenienced on if we're really going to want to see the emissions reductions happening. Eamon Ryan has been saying it for many years that this is going to be the most difficult sector to crack. Also, that coupled with the fact that, you know, the delivery of big projects, big rail projects, bus connects, even some of the low-hanging fruit, isn't happening as quickly as it should do.
How big a part are the increased popularity of SUVs playing in this increase in the transport figures?
I suspect it's definitely something that's going to be playing a part. You know, they're more popular than ever. We're selling more of them. And I suppose on the SUV point, you know, it's the some of the vehicles' crossovers aren't really that more emissions. They don't have that much higher emissions, but the bigger ones do, obviously. And the average is 20% higher. So if we're selling more of those, we're knocking out all of these impacts that we're getting from electric vehicles.
We're kind of running to stand still there.
Yeah, but very much so. And that's the frustrating thing. You know, we see these great figures and we're pumping millions into electric vehicles. But then, you know, there's all of these other factors that are going against the EVs.
Well, is it time then for the government to start making SUVs, indeed all internal combustion engines, a lot less popular?
Yeah, but I suppose it's not really up to government to be able to do that. Yes, they can tax them. Yes, they can put in, you know, different restrictions on where they can go in cities. But I suppose the main thing is that Europe, when internal combustion engines, when are they going to stop producing them? And that looks like it's going to be 2035. So up until then, everybody will still be able to buy these vehicles. And these vehicles last an awful lot longer. So we could be talking about them being in the fleet into the 2040s and the mid-2040s, if that's the case.
The argument is often made that this can be done, that the technology is all there for people to adopt whatever it is that they need to do. It just needs to be made easy for them by government. It just needs to be subsidised. Should we be subsidising particularly the second-hand electric vehicle market to a greater extent than we are?
I think that's something that we could look at. It's something that they're doing in Scotland. So they realise in rural parts of Scotland that people drive a lot longer distances, and they are subsidising people in those areas to be able to purchase electric vehicles. And that's what we see in Ireland, outside of the major urban areas in Cork and Dublin, where the majority of electric vehicles have been sold. It's in the rural parts of Ireland that people drive a lot longer and a lot further because of lack of an alternative. And the alternative may not even be climate neutral if we're running empty buses in those parts. So that's where I would like to see all the electric vehicles being sold and have that benefit there. But, you know, electric vehicles, I think, can be a distraction here. You know, it's the nuts and bolts of the network that we need to change, and that's just better public transport.
Well, let's look at the nuts and bolts of the roads network. Clare had a discussion earlier on in the week on the programme about the fact that Transport Infrastructure Ireland has expressed its concern that there's 10 new road projects that are not progressing quickly enough. If you look at that the other way round, though, if you build roads, they end up getting filled with cars, which creates more emissions. Is there an argument to be made for doing what the Welsh have done and saying no new roads?
Definitely. I think in terms of the roads construction, our roads have to be safe. They have to be safe and fit for purpose. So any infrastructure development that's required in order to make roads safer, I'm definitely for. But any new roads that increase capacity, decrease travel time, all they're going to do is make our job harder. There's never been a road built on the planet that hasn't resulted in more transport and traffic. So why would we make this more difficult? And to be honest, the 6% increase that we saw this morning, I'm surprised it's not even higher because of the lack of movement in the area. But on the roadside, I could tell you the 10 projects that aren't progressing fast enough in public transport equally, and TII are responsible for that too.
So is there an argument to be made then for transferring that roads budget into cycle paths, into quality bus corridors?
Definitely. It's in the programme for government. It's what the Citizens' Assembly said 5-6 years ago, that they wanted a 2-to-1 ratio in spending in transport in favour of public transport. That hasn't happened yet, mainly because we're so far behind in terms of the planning on projects like Bus Connects and Metro and Light Rail in Dublin and Cork. So those are the things that need to be expedited. And see, the thing is about those, it takes a long time. So we're probably going to see transport emissions increases or staying the same for the rest of this carbon budget and perhaps the next one.
Do you know, I'm struck by the fact that every time we have this conversation or every time you come on, it ends up being the same measures, the same ideas that are being discussed again and again and again. Is it because, as you say, these projects are particularly time consuming to execute, or are we just being uniquely slow about it?
It's both. We are being very slow about it. Like, you know, I hate dragging up the metro, but that's one of the projects that's been there for 20-odd, nearly 25 years. And other cities at the same time as we started to think about a metro have delivered metro networks, and let alone just one line. We just need to be quicker about these things. And we just need to be much quicker. But the other thing is as well, Philip, is that there's gridlock in the delivery of these pieces of infrastructure. We need to, like, the kind of works that are required is equivalent to building 5 or 6 Ardner crushes all in 10 years. And that's going to cause gridlock in terms of the amount of civil engineers that are available, planners, construction workers, all of these types of things. And then you get things, unintended consequences. So at the moment, over in Phibsworth, there's 100 electric buses sitting there, and they're not in use because they don't have the charging infrastructure. So, you know, the delivery as well is so frustrating.
And you can't install the charging infrastructure without digging up the roads even more and making the traffic even worse.
Precisely.
It's a bit of a Gordian knot, isn't it? Professor Brian Caulfield, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.